Brew Strong is brought to you by Blickman Engineering, home of the top-tier brewing stand. Visit them online at blickmanengineering.com.
Brewers, it's time for the beer radio you've been looking for. This is the show that dispels myths, tackles the toughest topics, and makes no apologies for geeking out on beer. Hosted by two guys that drink before they think, Jamil Zainashev and John Palmer. This is Brew Strong.
Hey, howdy. Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Greetings, cretins.
See, this semi-sober show brought to you by Half Cousin and Watery Grave.
Yeah, Watery Grave.
There you go. See, we're... Imagine doing this show without those beers.
It would be difficult.
We'd be trashed.
Yeah.
I mean, from experience, I can tell you. Yeah.
Not that we would mind, but...
Yeah, we've done plenty of shows that way. Right. Now, yeah.
It's going to be kind of a weird show today, I believe.
Right. It could be a little odd.
Yeah.
Could be a little weird.
Speaking of odd and weird.
Our good friend John Blickman.
Hey, there he is.
I was just thinking about him, and what a great time. I took my daughter up skiing. We went up to Mount Rose, which we love, because there's usually good powder up there, and it's so high. And not a lot of people up there. They had the 2 for Tuesday. We drove up. My daughter drove all the way. Hmm. That's how old she is now. And we were driving through Tahoe City.
Oh, okay.
And or King's City or whatever it was.
King's City.
Huh. Yeah. King's something. It was whatever place we spent a romantic weekend, you and me, with John Blickman.
That's right. That little
with hamlet. Our winner of the contest.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that awesome?
It was. That was a great
It was a great weekend.
It really was.
Yeah. So I think we should be doing it again. We talked about doing it again. John enjoyed it, too.
Yeah. Well, we tried to plan it, and then our differing schedules kept conflicting. So.
Right. Well, then they were talking, like, you know, Indiana in January.
Like, all right,
so, like, a three-hour drive through icy roads. I don't know. They don't have, like, summer in Indiana. I mean, that one week that they do, maybe we could be there.
Yeah, winter in July. Yeah.
Yes. But I think we should do it again. We should have another contest of anybody who's purchased a Blickman brew system during the year gets an entry into this thing where John Blickman, John Palmer, and John Zainashev come out and brew with you at your place.
Yeah.
Or you can come out and brew with us out here.
Yeah, I'd enjoy that. That was a good time.
I did, too. I loved it.
How was the winner? Was he, like, socially awkward? Was he cool?
Oh, no, he was very cool.
He was more socially normal.
Bebo's nodding feverishly.
And less socially retarded than the three of us.
Yeah, we were kind of goobs.
We were the socially retarded people.
Okay.
He was a normal dude with, like, a normal wife and, like, a normal life and actually, like,
although he did open a brewery.
Normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. So now how Abby normal is that? But, he was a normal person and we were the three retards.
I knew there had to be some weirdos in there somewhere.
I know it's not politically correct.
It was just you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we were the weird ones. He invited three very weird people to his place.
Yes.
We had a good time. And I'll tell you, I think a big part of that is John Blickman.
Oh, yeah. He's a good time. John is a good time.
He's a good time. We like John because he's a good time. Eh?
What are you looking at me for?
Contrast.
Yeah. there you go. Wow. Good one, Palmer.
Thank you.
No. I think we should do this competition again, and I think anybody who buys any Blickman piece of gear, any piece of gear,
okay,
is entered.
Cool.
All right, make it happen.
We'll have to talk.
Somebody line up the flights. Right. Make that happen.
All right, I'll get right on.
I'm just the idea guy. I don't do the implementation. I just saying. Well, and I'll tell you, if you'd like to support our fine friend John Blickman, because he supports you and this show,
That's right.
He pays for it, so you don't have to. Check him out, BlickmanEngineering.com. They're innovating your brew day, so you don't have horrible brew days.
That's right. And check them out this year at the National Homebrew Conference in San Diego.
That's easy for you to say, yeah.
Nearly.
You'll be there. I'll be there.
Yep.
We'll have a good time. All right. Today we were thinking of tackling the weird and odd. So, I'll tell you, we get some super weird questions.
Yeah.
Those I have filtered out.
Okay.
We get some really extremely odd questions. I have filtered those out as well. to the point to where we'd sit here, you'd read the question, and we all be like, what? And then we'd move on. So we're skipping those.
That's how I feel every time, by the way.
Well, you don't know the answers. There you go. No, we would be skipping all those. This time, I've got ones that have some semblance of grammar,
yeah, okay.
Some semblance of spelling, some semblance of actually asking a question, some semblance of...
Now you're just talking crazy.
Right. That is a small portion of our demographic. However, some of these people did successfully ask a question. I thought that they were different and interesting, and perhaps we could elucidate upon their questions.
So this is another Q&A show, but with some interesting, odd questions.
If you like to ask questions, send them in to brewstrong@thebrewingnetwork.com. We even take the odd and the weird. We won't answer all of them, but we'll every once in a while, we'll slap them together. All right.
Let's start with Nathan, who says, I was recently listening to the show on finings, speaking of filtering out, in the archive, and was wondering if you had ever heard of using very high-strength electric field, like 100, what's KV?
Kilovolts.
Okay, 100 kilovolts, to cause the charged particles that form the haze to precipitate out of the beer. Can you think of any possible flavor side effect of very
yes.
strong... Okay, elaborate.
Well, I mean, at 100 kV, you're certainly going to have some arcing going on, even in the fluid.
You're going to fry things.
Yeah, and you're going to have severe corrosion problems in your... I mean, assuming you're using a metal tank at some point.
Well, let's say glass car. I think his example was... maybe have a bucket, plastic bucket.
Plastic bucket.
Okay. Let's say all three. Plastic bucket, carbon.
Right, so he was saying like a metal, a mesh metal around around the exterior, or around, the circumference of the inside bucket. And then a rod, anode, down the center.
Right. It's got to be metal.
Right.
And... if it's metal in an electrolyte with voltage, it's going to corrode.
Right. That you're going to get metallic flavors.
Exactly.
Is my first thought.
Yeah.
No matter what. Because it's dissociating ions and that's how the whole thing works, and you're going to get that flavor no matter what.
Yeah. It's going to be extreme metallic flavor. It's with high voltage like that. I mean, even if it was 3 volts. You would get metallic flavors, over a period of an hour or so that it would take, that you would do this. But if you're using a real high voltage, it's going to happen quickly. You're going to have a lot of metal.
Okay, now what if you put just the subtlest of a voltage to this thing, and then you moved the mesh, so you had like a mesh paddle. Let's say you've got...
Well, let's say you use carbon electrodes.
Let's say you have two mesh paddles.
Okay.
Right? Like a foot square.
Okay.
And or carbon electrodes or whatever, and you moved them or one, through the liquid back and forth gently as you apply just enough voltage to give it a charge to stick all these other things.
I think you would still have you are going to have...
If you get enough voltage to make a difference, it's going to...
It's all, you're going to have other chemical reactions occurring as well,
right,
which will result in a change in pH of the solution. So you're gonna change the flavor of the beer. Even if you're using carbon electrodes, you know, which would, you know, not be putting metals into the beer, still you are going to get hydrogen ions being generated, hydroxide ions being generated. The pH is going to change. And you will end up changing the flavor. So it's an intriguing idea, you know, just what if. But in addition to possibly settling the yeast quicker or clarifying the beer quicker, you would, there would be repercussions, you know, other associated reactions occurring due to the conditions. So.
Right. If you think otherwise, prove us wrong.
Yeah.
You do it. You know, send us a sample. See what you think. I think it's an easy enough thing to try.
Yeah, but I will not be responsible for any burns or injuries from people trying it.
Right. So, I mean, you can hook up, you know, DC battery and, you know, not a lot of voltage. And
I mean,
safe enough.
Which you could... do it by just putting a 9-volt battery in your mouth and then taking a mouthful of beer. That might be a good quick test.
Let it clear up in your mouth. It's perfect.
Right. Right. Well, and I mean, just you know, like you're saying, if you touch a 9-volt battery to your tongue, you taste the metal.
Oh yeah.
Right. If you just taste each individual terminal by itself, you don't taste anything.
Right.
If you put both together, that. A little bit of charge, it just full of metal.
Yeah,
and that's a big part of the difference.
So he's basically trying to. He's saying, like, instead of findings, what if I did this?
Yeah,
what's wrong with findings? He just wants to experiment, I guess.
Well, that would be my point. Is I think it's a very creative idea, and I love the fact that this is why I think craft beer is really taking off and is really innovative and all that is homebrewers.
Yeah.
There are some pro brewers who go like, well, homebrewers are like the, you know, devil incarnate and are dragging down.
Really? There are pros who are saying that?
There's a few of them who believe that craft beer would be like wine if it wasn't for homebrewers.
Yeah.
And their drunken state and all that. Freaking pissed me off. So there are people I despise because of that. But I won't mention their name. I'll tell you this, you know, homebrewers come out with some of the most creative ideas. They're thinking, they're trying, they're not stuck in, well, I need to produce, you know, X number of barrels of beer at, you know, whatever, you know, cost. I need to get this out. I need, you know, that a commercial brewer needs to do. And some commercial brewers look at that as, well, you know, well, these homebrewers, they don't have to do what I do. Right, which frees them up to be creative and to be interesting, to think outside the box and to come up with new things that have benefited craft brewing to the extreme.
Oh, yeah.
And without homebrewers, I don't imagine we'd be anywhere close to the, you know, revival of craft brew and the boom in craft brew without these people and their passion. And a lot of these, you know, transition into, you know, opening their own brewers.
Oh, yeah.
It's something that is fascinating and interesting to me. You know, the things that people come up with, you know, an idea like this, it's like, well, all right.
Double IPA.
Triple IPA.
Yeah.
We don't think it would work, but, you know, God bless you. If you go out and try it, please send us some. We want to see how it worked out, because we could be wrong. Everything in my gut tells me it's not going to work. For you, I think the same thing, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you shouldn't try it.
You may come up with a way to make it work.
You do it with a batch of homebrew. I mean, the cost is, you know, just give it a go. We give you kudos at the very least for giving it a shot. So very cool.
So do you think if there are people in the beer world saying, you know, we should be more like wine, do you think there are people in the wine world saying, why aren't we more like the beer industry?
Yes.
Like if only more people made their own wine and acted like slobs, we'd be more like the beer industry.
No. So the wine industry, they looked at the beer industry and they saw that the beer industry did really well with six-packs, multi-packs, small serving, single serving, multi-packs. And so the wine industry, for a time there, really tried to get into the single-serving multi-pack. Sutter Home has the little six packs, four packs of little bottles. And so the wine industry was trying to get into that. They're still trying to get into the single-serve, like a glass with a plastic top and all this, like a single glass of wine. They're struggling to get into that market because they look at the beer industry and they go, well, look, here's why beer sells so much by volume is because they got all these six packs. So they're trying to do that. But the wine people don't want that. And a lot of the craft beer people don't want that either.
Yeah.
What craft beer is transitioning to wine. So wine did that and tried to force a way in there and failed. So now wine is trying to get in, they're getting in on the draft. So they've got that now where there is, instead of buying a bottle, the single serve is working on draft. So there's draft wine now. It's huge.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Oh, it's absolutely huge. And they're doing draft wine by the glass. That's a big deal now. And that worked for them because that model works. That makes sense. But the six-pack of wine did not work. Mm-hmm. In the beer world, in craft beer, what's happening is craft beer is transitioning over to the single serve with wine. You go to the store, you look at these bottles of wine, and you buy a $10, $20, $30, $40 bottle of wine to take over to your friend's house because they invited you over, and you bring a bottle of wine to share with everybody.
Right.
Right? Or they have some bottles of wine that they've bought previously, and they're going to open up, and they bought them at various wineries, and they're going to share them with you. The same thing's happening with craft beer, where the bomber section now is growing tremendously.
Oh, yeah.
And what is a bomber? It's not you're going to drink it all by yourself anymore.
No, it's to share.
And and the reason is, when you have the – except for Brute Tattoo, he'll drink it all. when you have the, the sessionable beer that you could drink an entire bottle by yourself, those don't sell very well. The ones that are selling are all the big, fancy 14%. This is why those beers in those percentages are doing really well, is because it's more like a bottle of wine. It's more like something you would share with friends. You're going to have a little glass. You're going to pour it for everybody else. You're all going to socially experience it together. This, 18% beer, you're all going to have a small glass of it. And you go, ooh, that's good, whatever. You've shared that experience. It was, it was $10. It was $15, whatever it was, $20.
Right.
It's more and more like wine. So beer is becoming more like wine. Wine tried to get into the multi-pack. I think the multi-pack is dying. That being said, we're entering the multi-pack. But I think that, in a way, it's a mistake. I think you focus on that beer experience, that single serve, you share with your friends, higher alcohol, more experience, more socially. That's where it's done. Same thing for wine, and that's why wine did well. It has nothing to do with who home brews or home wine makes. That's got nothing to do with it. You're an idiot if you think that that's the case. I wish those people were, those people will never listen to this because we're homebrewers and have nothing really worthwhile for them to listen
to. Well, we're just drunken slobs.
Yes, we're drunken homebrew slobs. That's me. And Brew Tattoo. John, he's not raising his hand, but John too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a given. Yeah.
So now I'm off my soapbox. What I would say is if you want to meet more drunken homebrew slobs with brilliant things to say and great beer to share and just the most wonderful community out there, go to the AHA, sign up to be an AHA member, and you're gonna join the membership of all us wonderful drunken slobs together. And they're gonna work to protect your rights. They're going to produce a magazine that has lots of great clever things people like John write for it, and have lots of great things to share with you. And you're going to get a pub discount program, so you cheap bastards who brew your own beer can get a discount at all these pubs who
Well, they have AHA rallies too.
AHA rally
Heretic.
We're going to do another one. Looks like it's going to be October October 10th, we're talking about, 2015. Another rally where we give away beer. If you're an AHA member, you come out, you get a couple of pints of beer for free and all sorts of stuff.
Tour of the brewery.
Yeah, we have a good time. Loved it last year.
Yeah.
And yeah, I told them, I said, anytime we want to do it, we'll do it.
Are you going to give away wort again?
We might. Oh, yeah. We could do that again. Hey, we're also going to have a commemorative beer for the AHA conference.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we're looking Mike Mraz of Mraz Brewing.
Oh, and nice. Okay.
Maybe Julian of Beechwood. All going to get together. We're going to make something something special. We'll see. And cool. We're going to produce it at Heretic and give it away at the AHA conference. I don't know. Yeah. We just love it. And I love the AHA. I think it's all, you know, good people doing good stuff for homebrew. And definitely. To me, that's important. So if I think you should support it. Go to thebrewingnetwork.com, click on that AHA logo. You sign up through there. The AHA the Brewing Network gets a little sliced back. The AHA still does well. You know, everybody, it's a win-win-win. Try it out. AHA, American Homebrewers Association.com. Or homebrewers.com. All right, let's take a short break. When we come back, more of your questions right after this.
From the stovetop to a camp burner to some kind of brew stand, most homebrewers follow some version of this progression. With each move, a homebrewer will often have to change a lot, if not all, of their equipment. Until now, Blickman Engineering brings you the Top Tier Brewing Stand, the only brewing stand that grows with you. For example, buy a top-tier floor-standing burner now, and it'll bolt right to your top-tier brewing stand when you're ready for all-grain brewing. The top-tier brewing stand is perfect for 5-gallon to 20-gallon batch sizes. Its modular design is adjustable and accommodates everything from small footprint coolers up to 30-gallon pots. How does the top-tier brewing stand do it? At its core is a strong, heat-treated, and anodized aluminum main post. On all four sides are built-in T-slots for the adjustable heavy-gauge stainless steel shelves and beefy burner tiers. The tiers accommodate any manufacturer's pots or coolers up to 21 inches in diameter. Best of all, not only does the top-tier brewing stand grow with your skills and equipment, but it easily knocks down for long-term storage or transport, too. The top-tier brewing stand from Blickman Engineering. Learn more at BlickmanEngineering.com and to find a local Blickman retailer. And start brewing from the top tier.
Hey, dude, you know what beer this is?
Oh, no, all the labels are falling off.
Yeah, or the ink is run.
Well, if it's a pale ale, you're good, but stay away from the quote-unquote Belgian.
Oh, man, this guy needs to get some grog tags.
Grog tags are reusable, write-on, wipe-off, commercial-grade bottle labels for your brew. The guys at Grog Tag are homebrewers. They wanted great-looking, sturdy labels for your bottles, buckets, carboys, kegs, and growlers. They also wanted a label that not only looks good, but can be easily removed and reapplied during bottling, without that nasty glue residue being left behind. No residue, water resistant, and ice chest approved. Grog tags stay on in water or an ice chest, and they stay legible. Visit grogtag.com to customize your label or coaster from dozens of different templates for free and see how awesome your bottles can look.
Ugh, it's that pseudo-Belgian.
Yeah, we're getting him some grog tags, dude.
Grog tag. At least your beer will look good. Grogtag.com.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for every beer style. I want a Cicerone.
The Cicerone Certification Program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone Program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerone are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
Learning to brew has never been so disgusting. This is Brew Strong.
Drum solo, John. That's the quality kind of entertainment you get on this show.
That's right.
Just saying. All right. We're talking about the weird and the odd. Not John and I.
No.
Not even Scott. No. We're talking about the weird and the odd questions that sometimes you guys ask.
Like this one from Adam, who says, "Dear Brew Strong Crew, thanks for all the coverage over the years. Learned a lot. This question is semi-related to an email I sent to Can You Brew It about Lion Stout. The term digestible comes up sometimes in homebrewing books, usually in reference to Belgian and Trappist ales. One of the things that sets Lion Stout aside, for me at least, is that it leaves me feeling really fantastic, not just because it's 8%. In other words, I like the feeling you get after eating a plate of veggies rather than a steak or something like that. That's what I call digestible, and I generally don't associate it with American ales or homebrew. It's difficult to pin down what it means in the context of beer, so I'm wondering if you think the term means anything and how it can be achieved in homebrew.
Less filling tastes great?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? I read that, I was just like, what the hell homebrew books is he reading? Yeah, digestible.
I don't know.
You've never heard that?
I've never used that word in any of my writing, I don't think.
Me either.
Right. I'm thinking, since he lists Belgians and things like that, and then he talks about...
steak and versus veggies.
I don't know what the fuck he's talking about there. I was, you know, Lion Stout...
Which I'm not familiar with.
Right, but so generally... I think, and he talks about homebrew and all that. I think he's talking about, you know, digestible in that it's well attenuated. There's probably not a huge amount of carbohydrates.
Yeah.
But then he talks about vegetables versus steak. I mean, you get a lot of carbs from, you don't. You get, your vegetable sugars. You get your...
I know what he means, though. Like, I mean, starches. If you have, like, some salmon and veggies, it's real easy to sort of chew, swallow, just goes right through, as opposed to, you know, a chicken burrito, which just it leaves you feeling like you want to take a nap. It's heavy in your gut.
Well, that generally is, like, a size-related thing. You're talking about, like, a 2-pound burrito versus a 6-ounce, 4-ounce piece of salmon with 2 ounces of vegetables.
Well, I'll take his side on this. Even if it was the same, like, I've had a pile of vegetables and a big hunk of salmon, and it's probably volume-wise pretty close to the same thing, but it's just so much easier. It's more digestible.
Well, I would say that there are things more digestible, but if that's what you're going for, you know, just suck down a bunch of glucose.
Mm-hmm.
That's just going to run right through you, no problem. It gets absorbed into the blood. You're off and running, and you're done.
It's Bud Light versus Sierra Nevada Celebration.
Right, right. Yeah, there you go. Well, and I would say that less filling, tastes great. Yeah. Right, right. I'd say this. You know, I still don't believe the bullshit about steak staying months in your colon.
Yeah, not in my colon.
Right. Yeah. You eat corn with the steak. The corn's coming out. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's not like you don't have a little guy inside there. The tapeworm isn't separating out the corn from the meat. It's all just coming right out. I passed that steak, no problem.
Where did you hear that in Beverly Hills Cop? Is that where that came from? Because that's where I remember it from.
No.
An average American male has 9 pounds of undigested red meat.
No, you hear that all the time. Everyone's like, oh my God. You can't eat red meat because it stays in the colon for 3 months or 5 months.
No.
You've got your head up your ass if you're thinking that's the case.
I'm pretty sure people say it because they heard Judge Reinhold say it in Beverly Hills Cop.
No, people... Health experts, that are trying to convince you not to kill animals because you want to eat them because they're tasty.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and one of these Zagats or whatever was declaring that kale as a meal in restaurants was over, which it never should have started because that's decoration.
Yes.
I am old enough that kale is decoration. Yes. Anybody eating kale? I don't know what the hell's wrong with
you. Do you eat the celery on your Grand Slam at Denny's? The little sprig there? Is that part of the meal?
The parsley? Right. Yeah, parsley's not a meal. Kale's not a meal. Yeah, you got something wrong with you. And then they went on to say bacon is over. I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. These people, as they get, I'm sorry, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. If you think that people are not going to eat bacon, like as a meal at a restaurant, the trend is done for kale and bacon. I got this to say. The planet will be a cinder before bacon is done. Bacon will live on other planets when Earth is a cinder. I guarantee you there's nothing more perfect than the pig and the bacon. That's good stuff. As a Jew, you know that bacon, that's why it's forbidden, because they want you to suffer as a people.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the only reason that bacon is not allowed.
Absolutely.
They want you to hurt.
Yes.
So you'll feel punished.
Yeah. So we can continue our complaining about life in general.
Exactly. And then complaining about food generally. Yeah.
Yep.
There's a lot of complaining about food in the Jewish tradition. I'm just saying. Or talking about food anyways.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is especially ironic.
Deciding about where to go to eat. That's a big thing.
For a culture that eats a gelatinized fish. You ever had gefilte fish?
Yeah. I've done the whole thing.
Seem to have no problem with that. But huge problem with bacon.
I love the deli. I love the whole thing. But, yeah, there's a problem with bacon. Come on. There's all sorts of other crap that'll kill you. Bacon is like God's... This is why... This is... Beer is not proof that God loves you. Bacon is. I mean, really, that's proof that God loves you. There is nothing like bacon. Are any of you planning to eat less bacon this year?
No.
Your plan is always to eat more bacon. Right. You can't consume enough bacon to really get your bacon. Have you ever over-baconed? No. You're always saying to yourself, I shouldn't eat more because I want to live a few more years, but... Damn, that's good shit, right? And then you try all these different bacons, and you're like, wow, that is some really good bacon. And so you have more. I'm just amazed at that they could possibly think that bacon was in any way not still the world's favorite.
Yes, okay.
I mean, America, maybe we're topping it. I don't know, but... just got to say, as a human being, anywhere in the world, you get some guy living out in the Sudan, never had a taste of bacon, you can eat bacon. That guy, go, all right, you go to the North Pole, you give that guy a piece of bacon, he can be like, damn, that's some good shit.
Well, I know they've done that with chocolate.
Oh, they have?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They gave chocolate to guys that were farming cocoa in Africa.
And they had never had chocolate.
They had never had chocolate before. And it's like, oh, wow, this is really good. I can see why people like it.
I see why I'm employed for 50 cents a day.
Yeah.
That's a lot out there.
Well, give those guys some bacon.
There you go. Yeah,
you know, bacon dipped in chocolate. They'll be just like, oh, man, I don't need to masturbate anymore. I got this.
What was that question against that?
I think our advice to Adam is to eat glucose and drink water, right?
There you go. Yeah. Digestibility.
Bacon. Well, bacon. You know, I would think it's related to lower mash temperatures, more aggressive fermentation,
right.
You know, drying out the beer, getting, you know, reducing some of the carbohydrates, you know.
Yeah.
Bud Light, Coors Light. That's
there you go.
For him. There you go.
Here's Dave Clark, who says, I'm trying to reach John Palmer. Well, he came to the right place. To let him know that his domain, howtobrew.com, has expired with the registrar. Just as I was starting to get into reading it, unfortunately. I did order the book, however, but would love to continue reading it online. In the meantime, please advise Dave.
Okay. Well, as far as I know, it's still up.
All right. Moving along. To...
I told you we get weird questions. Here's your advice on your website, you know.
No, actually, I...
Well, and my thing for that was, dude, if you want an electronic copy, they sell it on Amazon.
Yeah.
You know, they sell
Kindle.
It in a number of places. Yeah, you can buy an electronic copy of the book. Or if you don't like that, there's a paper copy. The fact that you're worried about the... the free thing on the internet has gone down temporarily.
Oh, I know.
Hey, I don't want to beat anybody up. People have all sorts of different financial situations. I got some money to piss around fine. Yeah. I'm okay with buying a copy of the book. And I understand that that doesn't work for everybody. Yes. So, you know,
every month I get an email. Can you send me a PDF of your book?
Are you serious?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
How much does the book go for at retail?
Like 20 yeah. something bucks.
12 on Amazon.
12?
Yeah.
Fucking 12
there's
bucks
not
on
a
Amazon.
Human being
there's,
in the United States like, that has a problem with
there's
$12.
There's like 50 cents of profit on that book on Amazon. When a book sells well, Amazon sells it for less. They want the volume. They don't want to make, you know, $8 off the book. They want to make 50 cents off of every single person that buys a copy.
Yeah.
Right? They want to suck up all that. So they're selling it at cost. And at that, Jesus Christ, why aren't you buying a copy of the book?
$12. Like,
what the hell's
the
matter with you?
What did you eat for lunch?
Yeah,
right. And
exactly.
Then the digital copy is what, like $8?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. $8. You can buy a digital copy for $8. And John will get 50 cents, 25 cents, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that John needs the money, but just go ahead and, you know, support
the wrote it for a reason.
Right. Yeah. He doesn't not need the money.
Well, and here's the other thing. That copy on how to brew, that's bullshit.
It's old.
That's like version one exactly. when he was still on the pipe. Yeah. And, you know, now, you know, he's sobered up. You know, he's cleaned up his act. He's still not 100% clean. But,
I listened to several episodes of the Jamil Show in between.
There you go. Now it's like version four, three, four?
Three, yeah.
Three? And you're working on four?
I'm working on four.
Right. And I'll tell you this. Buy every version. John learns things. He corrects things. He tweaks things. He's a work in progress.
Yeah.
You can see that right here. Brew Tattoo. He's like, oh, yeah. So buy the copy. All right. Enough of that. We need to take another break. We'll be back right after this.
Have you ever dreamed of attending the World Brewing Academy? This year, thanks to Lalamond and Anstar, one lucky brewer will make that dream a reality for free. Lalamond and Danstar invite you to enter the Beer School 2015 contest. One lucky grand prize winner will receive fully paid tuition to the 2015 World Brewing Academy web-based concise course in brewing technology worth almost $4,000. From now until December 13th, 2014, every Danstar yeast packet you use is your ticket to enter. Visit danstaryeast.com for the details and to print your official entry form. There's no limit on the number of times you can enter, so get brewing with Danstar and get your entries in to the Danstar 2015 Beer School Contest. Whether you want to build your home brewing skills or build a career as a professional brewer, this course will change the way you think of beer and brewing. Enter at danstaryeast.com and get the dry yeast advantage with Danstar and Lalamond Premium Brewing Yeast, and enter to win.
A few things happened 30 years ago.
ARPANET migrated to TCP/IP, and the Internet was born. Revenge of the Jedi was renamed Return of the Jedi and opened in theaters. Mila Kunis and Emily Blunt were born, beginning a rad fantasy in my mind.
But all of that pales next to the fact that HopTech opened its doors and began blowing homebrewers right out of their mash tuns. HopTech doesn't fuck around. Real people shipping awesome shit straight to you. Their new website is fast and easy to navigate. Or just call 800-379-4677 and let badass bitch Jade and the gadget guy Roberto blow their warm load of customer service all over you. So visit the site or visit the store in Dublin, California, and support those that support you. Get your brewing on at hoptech.com.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Like the Lance Armstrong of the beer world. Except for that nut thing. This is Brew Strong.
Speaking of that nut thing, have you listened to JP and Dr. Homebrew?
Have I?
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Good answer.
During the break.
There you go. There's your nut thing right there. I'm just saying, on many levels.
Well-informed nuttiness, yes.
Yes. No. Good show, good guys. You know, a lot of intriguing stuff if you want to send your homebrew into them and have them drink it and talk about it in terms of like a BJCP judging.
Yeah, very useful feedback.
Cool. Yeah, this is, I mean, can you, what if I told you in, you know, 1999, hey, you can hear what the judges are saying about your beer as if, you know what I mean? Like, you just get to be there in the judging session virtually. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I had just started brewing in Christmas of 99, so I really wouldn't know. I would have been like, what?
You were
homebrew?
How long did it take to enter a
competition? You're able to brew beer at home?
How long did it take before you started entering competitions?
Maybe a year or so, 6 months, 8 months.
Okay, so if
because people were just like blowing smoke or telling me everything was shit or telling me everything was great. I'm just like, get your head up your ass. You're just like, everything's great? No, I taste differences between these. Everything's shit? No, I sure, it's not all perfect, but this is really good. So that's what forced me. And they were just like, well, if you think it's good, you should send it into a competition. Here's the competition for you to send it. I'm like, okay. They got me started.
Yep.
Maltose Falcons.
Well, that's how,
Mayfair.
You know, that's if you want to not hear this is fantastic or this is crap,
right.
Send your beer into Dr. Homebrew and you get some real-time honest feedback.
Yeah, how honest is it? I mean, really. Do they not want to hurt people's feelings?
It's hosted by JP, isn't it?
There's no feelings involved then. Oh, no, it's all feelings. Oh, I'm so confused.
It's one of the two.
There you go. All right, so check it out. Brewingnetwork.com. All right, questions.
More weird
ones.
Let's
hammer through these weird questions.
All right, this is from Colin in Scotland, near Edinburgh. Hmm. He says, I've got a young family. Oh, I don't know what that has to do with anything. I did my first all-grain brew. It took a long time, and he said he had a few minor disasters, and it took longer than it should have. I've heard some people, he says, talk about split brew days, in which the evening before the mash and extract is collected, and then the next morning, boiling, hopping, fermenting, and cleanup. This would work better for my young family, as the evening before can be done while they're in bed. I was wondering if you've ever done this, and what risks are there?
So overnight mashing, in other words, I believe.
Yes.
I've never done it. Have you done overnight mashing?
Once, maybe twice. It can be okay. The problem is, if you don't get it hot enough... And I know that pretty much everything should be dead right around mash temperature, but, you know, something survives. Yeah, and you get a little bit, you know, it's a little too iffy. Mm-hmm. If you took it up to mash out, then I think you're a little safer because pasteurization is happening pretty quick. If you keep it all covered, all that, but, and you've, you know, degraded. And again, I think you've degraded most of enzymes. I'm not 100% sure. Yeah. It's like anything. You think you've got it, but you know, it's the reason why boiling something does not make it sterile.
Yeah.
It's okay, but you know, I thought this was interesting because really by doing it this way, splitting up into 2 days, you're kind of interrupting 2 days of your family. I think the thing is sack up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tighten your kilt and, you know, just when the kids go to bed, you know, fire it up. Have all your stuff ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, don't, you know, have a place where you can get all your gear. So you're not wasting 2 hours getting everything set up.
Right. Get the water hot.
You know, have everything ready to go. And then, you know, brew throughout the night. Mm-hmm. You know? There you go.
Yeah.
Done. Or, even better, involve your family.
There you go.
Your kids want to do things with you. Your kids don't care what it is you're doing. You know, no matter how young your family, a good friend, Ken at Device Brewing, opened a commercial brewery. His son's there, Mateo, sweet little kid. He's like, you know, what's in beer? Mateo's like, he's like, you know, 2 years old, 3 years old. He's like, hops. He loves adding the hops. He loves it. He's with dad, you know, participating.
Yep,
your kids do not care what it is you want them to do.
Unless you want them to pick hops, I found out.
Right? Your kids want to spend time with dad. Your kids want to spend time with mom. That's all your kids want to do. They don't care what you... They don't care if it's hard labor. They don't care if it's exciting. They care that you love it, that you love having them involved in it, and that is... the solution to the problem.
Well, sometimes they want to be paid, too.
When they get older.
Yeah.
But when they're younger, they just want you to care enough to include them. And if you're excluding them from your favorite thing, that dad's favorite thing is, you know, brewing beer and drinking beer, your kids are not going to appreciate that. Your kids are going to appreciate if you involve them in some way. Your kids will be happy to grain out and clean the grains and clean things. If you make it fun and exciting and you appreciate that they're involved with you and you're having fun with them, your kids will love cleaning up your brew equipment for you. That's all they want. They just want to be with you. So don't try and exclude them from your fun thing. If you're going to do that, just sack up and do it overnight. But otherwise, you know, your family's your greatest thing in the world you're ever going to do. And brewing's a distant thing from that.
Yeah.
If you want to be brewing and do all this, involve it with the most important thing in your life, which is your family.
Yeah. Final word to this dude in Scotland is I would get up early, like at 4 in the morning.
Bevo doesn't hear all my nice family stuff. She hears all the crude things I say.
Yeah. She didn't hear word one.
But get up at 4 and start your brew day, and you can be done by, you know, 10 in the morning. And then you got the rest of the day. Getting up early is a lot easier than staying up late for a lot of people. Yeah.
So when John and I, when we spend the night together.
Yes.
When we sleep together. John's a morning person. I'm a night person.
True. Saying. Yeah.
So one of you is up at all times.
Oh, yeah, we are.
And one of us is asleep at the same time.
No, he said up.
Oh, well. Yeah.
What's it down?
One's up, one's down.
There you go.
All right, here's Mick, Sergeant BNA, he signs. Thanks, Mick. He says, hey, guys, finally going to make it to the NHC and would love to attend the BNA party tour. Do you know when you will start selling tickets? Dates and time.
Yeah, you know, visit my tour page, which when you also ask me, hey, I'm going to name your city here. Where should I go to drink good beer? What is the most visit places? Oh, Jesus Christ, don't send me those freaking questions. For God's sakes, I spend 99.9% of my time either in the brewery or in front of a computer or at beer events that are heretic related. I have no time to go around, and they're like, well, you must go to other breweries and you must know all the breweries and have tasted all the beer in all the area. I wish I could. I have still never been to Rare Barrel. Oh, no, I went to Rare Barrel before they opened. I still have not been there since then. Many breweries in the Bay Area, I don't have the time to go. I wish I could. Most of those brewery owners have no time to go and visit us. We just don't have the time. We're too busy doing all this stuff. And so, for God's sakes. And I had one person with the nerve to say, well, that's okay. I realize that all you want to do is have us visit your brewery, and you won't tell us about the other breweries because you don't want us to go to theirs. I'm like, I'll tell you what, dude, don't come to my fucking brewery. You know, the only reason I mentioned it is like, well, I'm there a lot, so if you come, I'll take care of you. I'll give you free beer. I'll, you know, give you a personal tour, you know, whatever I can do to make you happy. But I can't give you advice on where to fly into, what hotels to stay, what breweries to go, what your itinerary should be, what you should do for your wife. I don't have time for that bullshit. There's this thing called Google. For God's sakes, use the goddamn thing. This is why God invented Google. What was the question? Oh, my God. I'm going to have a stroke. I can't hear it on my right ear. Did I tell you that? No.
I think his question was, do you like bacon?
Yes, I do. Maybe a little too much. Maybe that's part of my problem. That's why half my heart's clogged, I think.
All right. Moving along to Andrew, who's from Oregon. He says, greetings, Bruce Strongians.
These are weird and odd questions that you're reading. I don't know why that is.
Third show.
Yes?
Okay. I had a show idea a little while back, listening to the aeration episode. There have been so many Q&A episodes lately that the aeration took me back to the days when themed episodes were so much of what happened on Brew Strong. Anyway, my idea would be for a When Your Brew Day Goes Wrong episode. At work, we recently had a batch get knocked out accidentally at 96 degrees. We then tried to save it by bringing it back down with glycol as quick as possible, but we lost the batch, unfortunately. You could address how to fix things like this on a homebrew level. Also, he goes on, a fun tip for listeners. Cleaning your corny is a chore, but some smaller breweries use them regularly and will have really easy methods to get the job done. If you live near a brewery, you could swing by and ask if they will let you clean your corny there. This might meet with limited success, depending on how open the brewery is letting people in, but it really makes life so much easier to be able to do this.
Brew Tattoo, this is an insane suggestion here. He's already, you know, does not run his own brewery, but he imagines, as a business owner... Yeah, that's what I want, is people coming in and asking me, hey, you mind if I clean my corny tag here?
I mean, can you imagine if someone brought a tray of glasses in here? Right. Like, hey, can I just use your dishwasher
real
quick?
Let's run this through real quick.
Yeah.
I'm at home, I drank, and, you know, all these are, there's some cigarette butts and some chewing gum in here, but, hey, run these things through your dishwasher for me, all right? I know you're a small pub. You can do this for me.
I mean, Andrew, even if people were willing to do that, why would you? Well, you want to ask them? Like, it's
right.
So bold.
I'll tell you this.
Don't ask.
If Andrew is actually doing this, I think everyone should go to Andrew's brewery and ask him to clean their corny case for him. And Andrew's a very nice person. I think that's the thing. Andrew is very nice.
So he's projecting.
And we are all just cynical assholes.
Well, but we represent
99% of the world, yes.
The secret to cleaning corny kegs? Children.
Children.
Have your children climb in and clean those things.
Time,
that's what they're for.
Temperature, chemicals. Take everything apart, fill it up hot, enough PBW, give it enough time, done.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, unless I don't know what the hell you're putting in your corny keg if that won't clean it.
My daughter.
You're putting your daughter in there?
Yeah. Having her stick around.
You're a small people.
Yes. Yeah.
Her climb in there?
No. I should just reach her arm in with the sponge. And
right. Yeah, my arm will not pass through the opening of a corny keg.
No,
my forearm gets stuck. Yeah, you and I have the Popeye arm.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, I can get my hand in there.
Yeah.
All right.
What about his suggestion about themed episodes?
Yes. We still do themed episodes.
Yeah.
This is a themed episode, the weird and the odd.
Yeah, but last show's carbonation.
He would argue that's all Q&A still, though.
So themed Q&A.
Yeah, it is themed.
We still do themed shows. It's just that requires effort of a forethought. And the Q&A is you guys putting all the labor in and us drinking and talking. So that's why if I had my druthers, I would do all Q&A.
Yeah.
I love Q&A. When people ask me to talk, like at this medical school thing that I'm doing, I told them, they're like, oh, you can have a topic. You can talk for 45 minutes. Like 45-minute topic. Oh, my God. That's a lot of work. So I told them, I said, I'll tell you what. I'll answer questions for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But no way I'm coming up with a topic. They're like, yeah, that's fine.
I mean, honestly, you know, 5 years ago, Jamil, we had a lot more time.
We had more to say.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wasn't traveling as much. You weren't, you know, trying to run
Insane.
Your own brewery.
Yes.
Yeah. We could plan.
I hadn't lost my mind.
Yeah.
I hadn't tried to slip my wrists.
That's right. But, these days, between our two schedules, it's a miracle we can even get together.
Brutetti knows how to properly slit a wrist. He's showing me I went the wrong way.
That being said, you know, you can still write in, like, suggest topics.
Yeah. Yes, and people do, and they're wonderful suggestions. We have not forgotten them, and you know, every once in a while I even respond and go, wow, that's a really good idea. Like, you know, the there was a Pro Brewer one, and you were saying, John, we haven't done enough Pro Brewer ones, so.
Yeah, I mean, we enjoy doing this. We're going to keep doing this show.
Right.
And we will.
Both you and I, you're not getting rid of us.
Yeah.
We'll be sitting here. Scott, you won't be here. Beaver won't be here.
So send in your suggestions and we will.
We're like homeless people camping out in the Hop Grenade. We'll still be here doing shows.
Where will Bevo and I be?
You'd be dead. John, I ain't gonna live forever.
No, they'll just be obscure.
Yeah. You'll have given up. You don't have the strength and fortitude that John and I have. Our fortitude is intestinal.
Yes. Gravitous.
Let's take a short break, get ourselves more beer like we really need it, and we'll come back and answer more of your questions right after this.
And now, Northern Brewer presents What If Homebrewers Ruled the World?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll follow me, I will lead you into the gallery area. Now, the first piece up for sale today is a Jamil Zainashev original, a bottle of 1997 vintage Evil Twin.
Oh, I see.
A bidding for this one-of-a-kind piece will start at £7,000. And if you'll continue to follow me, ladies and gentlemen, I can show you a rather abstract piece from Bay Area brewer Justin Crossley. It's a German Doppelbock entitled Justin's Giant Bock. The brewer's notes here indicate that this beer had excellent mouthfeel.
Capital, capital. That's just a crazy dream. Or is it? With Northern Brewer, a thirsty nation can craft its own ale. For the greater good of mankind. Northern Brewer, the home of superior customer service and the finest selection of home brewing goods for the future.
Do you support the Brewing Network? Do you brew your own? Are you looking for an economical, fun, and legal way to do both? Subscribe to Brew Your Own magazine and do just that. All year long, Brew Your Own will surprise you, entertain you, and educate you with articles on beer and brewing from authors like the Brewing Network's very own Jamil Zainashev and John Palmer. Each issue is a full pint of brewing techniques, homebrew stories, tips and photos, projects to make yourself, and recipes for the avid home brewer. Get your tough questions answered by Mr. Wizard and polish your style accuracy with Jamil. A portion of every subscription goes to the Brewing Network, so subscribe today at BYO.com/Brewing Network or just click the BYO logo on the Brewing Network homepage and support a fantastic hobby and your favorite broadcaster. Brew Your Own, the how-to homebrew beer magazine.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters. This is Jamil Zainashev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever so subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn the cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at hereticbrewing.com.
Back to the two guys that know how to turn beer into beer. This is Brew Strong.
All right, we're back. We're talking the odd and the weird.
Yes.
Pretty much describes our entire demographic.
That's true.
Pretty much it describes the entire cast in the studio now.
That is also
to
true.
To the extreme.
I feel like I'm pretty normal, and Bevo's pretty normal.
Yeah, you would.
Bye, Bev.
You'd think that. When you're part of that crew, you think everything around you is normal. You probably look at Brew Tattoo and go, well, that's normal.
Oh, no. He's a real freak.
Well, yeah, there you go. Well, you probably look at Palmer and think he's normal. You look at me and think, well, he's semi-normal.
No, you guys are all freaks. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm normal.
Yeah, you're not normal, dude. You're not even close.
All right. Well, I wonder if Ian is normal. He says, greetings, gentlemen. I have a question about the location of my fermentation. I have a bathroom in my basement.
He doesn't know where he ferments?
Yeah. He's like, that is his question. Where am I fermenting? In the closet in your hallway. He says it's his basement in Michigan. It has a convenient shelf for lining up about 3 or 4 carboys. Mm. The room has a fairly stable temperature between 63 and 68, and it's the only place in the basement with a door to prevent my dogs from getting curious, and it can be kept dark. However, it also there's a bathroom that does get used infrequently by him when he needs privacy. His question is...
When he needs privacy... That's what would move this question into the weird category. He's like rubbing one out in there. What the hell is he doing where he needs privacy? He's got a real groaner. He's got to, like, he's got to wipe a whole bunch because he's smearing a bunch. Or what the hell's going on?
Maybe there's a fan in that bathroom.
He keeps it private. His question is the bathroom a bad place to ferment? Should he worry about harmful air particles when he racks from secondary?
See, I think what's happening is he's going down to the Tandoori, Express, and he's getting the late meal special where it's the leftovers that they weren't able to get rid of that day. And he's having that, and then, you know, he's got a blowout. Because if you're worried about airborne particles from using the toilet, I mean, clearly that's what
he's
worried about.
This has been on Mythbusters.
Yeah. Right. Which, you know, clearly that's what he's worried about, is airborne pieces of poo getting into his carboys.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's his privacy. Either he's whacking it, or he is... He's blowing his guts out so bad it's spattering everywhere. He needs some time to himself to clean up. You know, wipe it all back up, you know, comb his hair, you know, adjust his tie.
Okay, two
polish
things.
Polish his shoes.
Airlocks and hold it the day you bottle.
Right. Don't have the Tandoori leftovers the day before you bottle. And yeah, I think, right. If there's positive pressure coming out, you're probably okay. But a lot of breweries, and I'll tell you, a brewery in Australia, Brew Tattoo, just having a wonderful trip in Australia, where they were milling, open milling, where, you know, they were bottling and where they're brewing, and the beers were all horribly infected.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, well, you know, and I've come across breweries here in the U.S. where they're like, well, the fermenters are sealed. It's no problem. I'm like, I don't care. I know, you know, under pressure things won't get in there, but you cannot spread bacteria all over the place in heavy concentrations and expect everything to come out clean.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, just generally I'm not comfortable with a lot of bacteria, wild yeast all over the place.
Yeah, the bathroom's probably not the best place to be bottling.
Don't
shit where you work, Brute Tattoo says. I would, I'd say, you know, the nice thing about most bathrooms is they're hard, cleanable surfaces that you can clean with,
wipes
and stuff like that. So I don't think it's that bad. I don't think you're going to get, you know, enteric, you're not going to get, you know, a lot of fecal tastes in there.
Now, if you have a Dyson air blade that you're using to dry your hands, then you're in trouble. Am I right?
You're spreading that shit all over the place. God damn it.
I think a bunch of people in the bar who are about to order sandwiches just said, you know what? I'm good.
But seriously, Mythbusters did a show, I don't know, a couple months ago.
Where you put the toothbrush on top of the toilet.
Yeah. They've had toothbrushes all around. It's like, didn't have anything on them.
Yeah. Right. Stop being so paranoid, everyone. It's fine.
No, but they are not doing the Tandoori discount. And then worry about spatter. You know, this guy's got spatter going on. Just saying.
All right, here's Pavel. He is in Italy. And he says, hey, I really like your radio. Your radio is the best. I am the owner of the cafe.
Radio is the best.
I'm the owner of the cafe. People from our small town come
to
me in the
evening. I've heard of that cafe in Italy.
Huh? Well, the cafe.
Yeah, there's only one.
I almost every day we organize discos for your music, all in delight. We are very grateful to...
You know, this is a danceable show. I've always said Bruce Strong is the most danceable show on the Brewing Network. Really.
He's very grateful to all of our small town for your very good work. Uh-huh. We would like very much to like your souvenirs to remember you example. Whatever on your choice with your logo of radio, maybe pens, t-shirt, pins, candy, toys, or something another.
Candy.
I hope
we should send him some Bruce Strong candy.
I hope you will broadcast for many years.
Me too.
We hope that our letter would not stay without your attention. Souvenirs you can send to my address.
We gave it plenty of attention. More attention than it deserved. Thank you, Pavel.
God love you, Pavel.
Yeah.
I love the Google Translate stuff.
I love the fact that they dance to this show.
Yeah.
Really.
That's sweet.
There you go.
And here's one final one from Gregory Bogan, who says, Jamil, I was looking at your walk-in cooler on Mr. Malty as I have built one of my own. Did you do anything to prevent the icing of the AC? I've been having a big problem with that.
Yes. Yes.
Hey! Except he raised his hand.
Hey there. Did you have the same problem or you have a solution? He's got both. Put him on the air.
What do you want?
Brew Tattoo. Come in with your answer on the weird, odd and weird.
Stop.
Okay. I had the same problem.
Wait, what?
Let him turn your mic on. Oh, there you go. Push the button.
Okay, there we go. I'm on?
Yeah. Oh, you sound good too.
I had the same problem. And I drove myself crazy for like a year with this because it would freeze up. And then all of a sudden, it gets up to 50 degrees.
Yes.
60 degrees, 70 degrees, whatever. Uh-huh. So I figured, outsmarted it. Yeah, it's getting too wet. So I got, tons of calcium chloride and put it in there, to absorb the air. And it still didn't help. I put a...
Seal it off.
It was sealed. Not well. Another point, when you make your cold room, make sure that you put something down on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Even if it's a concrete floor, because the concrete will still...
Weeps a lot of moisture, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so then I put a actual dehumidifier into the cold room.
Uh-huh.
Well, that only makes it worse when things freeze up, because then that's putting out heat.
Uh-huh.
So then it got up to like 90 degrees. So then I said, wait a minute, all of these commercial guys, they got fans blowing on their coil.
Yeah, constantly blow air.
As soon as I put a fan constantly blowing on the coil, never froze up again.
There you go.
My contribution.
You actually made a contribution to Homebrew Society.
Yeah. Yay.
Let's mark this on the calendar.
Thank you.
All right, let's celebrate this yearly.
Now, what's the real answer?
No, that is the excellent answer. You can get like a little muffin fan, a computer muffin fan, and just point that there and let that thing, just slowly blow air over it.
Lives on Drury Lane?
Yes, the muffin fan. And you can get them cheap or free. And, if you keep the air moving, it's not going to ice up. You can do it without that. The trick is, one, to exclude a lot of fresh moisture coming in, because the air conditioner will pull the moisture out. It condenses. It runs out the tray, drips out the back. You're good. And if you minimize the amount of moisture, fresh air coming in, the air conditioner is open. That thing's open to the outside. That amount it can handle. But if your door is leaky, all your seams are leaky, so tape your seams. And then one of the tricks is to step the temperature down bit by bit, because the first drop in temperature pulls most of the moisture out. Then you drop it on another piece, it'll pull most of the moisture out. When you get all your stored beer and everything down to the temperature you want, slowly, little by little, it'll pull all the moisture out, incrementally. If you try and go from, 80 down to 30, you're going to ice up every time. If you go 80 to 60, 60 to 40, 40 or 60 to 50, 50 to 40, 40 to 35.
How long do you pause at each rest?
Just let it go for a day or two.
Okay.
It'll pull all the moisture out and you won't ice up. But the fan is excellent suggestion. Good answer. I think we ought to have you on the show regularly.
Yeah, I'll be out here next time.
Yeah, fly out, take care of it. Thank you for participating in the odd and the weird. I think that was a very odd and very weird show.
And a very appropriate show to have Brutat answer a question.
Yeah, there you go. If he was going to lay in on anything, that was it. That's
fans.
That's success right there. Speaking of success, Blickman Engineering.
Yeah.
Good folks at Blickman Engineering. They
pay for the show because you don't have to.
Right, and they will make your brew day more successful.
Indeed.
They're innovating your brew day. Check them out, BlickmanEngineering.com. See them at the AHA conference in San Diego this year.
They've
in June.
Got quite a booth. It's really interesting.
Yeah, they'll be there. And the AHA, if you're not going to the conference, what the hell? Are you really a homebrewer? This is the thing everybody should be going to. This is the greatest event in a homebrewer's life, is participating, attending the homebrewers conference. And don't say, I'll show up, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll go to the beach, all that. No. Plan out like an entire week around these few days and have an awesome time with your homebrew friends, your brothers and sisters.
Will.
John will be there, I'll be there. We'd love to see
you. Ian will be there.
VN will be there. We'll all be there.
Yeah.
Absolutely a wonderful time. And if you enjoy this wonderful time, don't forget to go to thebrewingnetwork.com. Check out brewingnetwork.com/store. Buy some hoodies, some glassware, some hats, some books. All good stuff goes to the bottom line of the Brewing Network. Until then, everybody, brew strong.
Brew strong.